to thank the Lord this morning for his blessings to us this week. Everybody was blessed this week in some kind of way. And we need to remember to always thank him for those things. We want to come to you and give to you this morning the second part of this study that we're having on faith. Last week, we talked about the faith to be saved, and that how God gives that faith, and that reaches us, and we have evidence and all before him, and we end up coming to the altar because we have faith.
Yes.
We have faith, and we have faith to believe that God meets us there, and that when we ask him to forgive us, that he forgives us, that we have that faith, but it's God-given. It's God-given faith, because we have no experience yet. We don't know anything very much yet, but yet we have faith. Today we want to talk about faith to become the children of God, faith to become holy, faith to live a holy life. When we first get saved, we don't know much about anything. We can have a head knowledge of some things, but we have no heart knowledge. We have nothing that has been proven in our lives yet. And so we come to the Lord, and how do we know when we get up from this altar, how do we all of a sudden know that there's some things we have to lay aside?
Yes.
See, God gives us that. It's not, we don't discover it. It's not that. It's that God put his finger on it. God talked to us about it. We know that those things are wrong. We see the evidence of the things that we did and how it affected our lives. And God knows. But that, how do we know when we get up, how do we know we're going to be able to do that? How do we know, how do we even have an understanding that things have changed in my life? It was just a second ago.
Yes.
Pardon me?
That weight is lifted.
Yes, that weight is lifted.
Yes.
The weight is lifted. So we have some evidence, don't we?
Yes.
And so we go off walking and we're pretty happy, pretty satisfied, content, feel like we know some things that we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to do that anymore. And we're going to live for the Lord now. But we don't even know what we're talking about yet. We don't really even know. We haven't had any experiences yet. But faith teaches us. Faith. God's faith. He comes. He blesses. And when we get up from the altar, we have faith to believe that he's going to help us be different.
Yeah.
That's his faith. We didn't get it. Where were we going to get it from?
Right.
You know how when people say, people pull things out of the thin air? That's where our faith comes.
Amen.
It comes out of the thin air, out of God. We can't tell where it came from. We can't tell exactly where it's going. We just know all of a sudden we have it.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
All right, we want to start in Romans 12, 1 through 3. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Proof. Proof. Remember what we said about evidence. Proof. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. What? God deals to every man the measure of faith? Is God cheap? Or is he rich? So does he just hand out faith sparingly? He gives you the measure you need for whatever you need.
Amen.
Oh, we can say right now we can say, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what will happen at the very end. You know, people dying and dying in the faith, and I don't know what's going to happen or anything. But you don't need that kind of faith right there. You're not facing that. You don't have to have that. But God gives you faith for whatever you're facing now. Whatever it is you're facing right now, he gives you faith for. He gives it. Because you don't even have any evidence yet or any experience to go on that would increase your belief and understanding in God. It's God. He is doling out this faith. We're starting out on this journey and he's just doling it out. And it's a wonderful thing. But it says that he deals it to every man, the measure of faith we need. In every situation, no matter what it is, he is dealing out the measure of faith.
Thank you.
Is this fan plugged in?
Yes.
Okay. It's a little warm up here. He deals it out. He's such a good God. So then, as we move on in Hebrews 10, 22 through 23, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Ooh, there's a lot of faith in that, those scriptures right there. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So we have something to do. He says, draw close to me.
Amen.
Does he say, now get this faith, work up this faith, you know, do something great or grand to get this faith? Is that what he says?
No.
No. That isn't how we get faith. We get faith by drawing near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In other words, just like the scripture we had last week where we said that we all know that when if we seek the Lord with our whole heart, that he's a rewarder. We didn't know that before. We didn't understand that. But faith. Faith. We have faith to believe that. We believe that if we come to God with our whole heart, he's going to give us what we need, the faith we need for anything we're going through. But we have to come to him. We have to throw ourselves on him. We have to. There were times in the Old Testament when men would be in trouble, great trouble, with usually a king. And they would go into the altar and they would throw themselves and latch onto the horns at the altar. And they wouldn't let go because they wanted mercy. They wanted help so bad. They latched on. And then the people would run and go tell the king, so-and-so has gone into the temple and he's latched onto the horns of the altar. And he won't let go until the king, you know, says that it is okay between him and the king. This is what we do. This is what we do. To get the faith we need, this is what we do. We come to God and we lay hold on him. We grab a hold of him and we don't let go till he gives us what we need. We just don't say, I don't have it. We don't say that because it's always there.
Amen.
Faith is right there. You just have to reach out and take faith. Faith is not something we work up. It's not something that we earn. You can't be good enough to get faith. No, we get it from God. We get it by reaching out to him and grabbing a hold of him and saying, like Jacob, I think it was Jacob that said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Until I get it, until this leaves, until I have peace again, until I have what I need. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Till I have what I need, the faith that I need. To go through a full assurance of faith. And then it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Oh, listen, dear ones. I'm afraid that all of us have been guilty of talking pretty big. We've all been guilty of it. Oh, I believe this and I believe that and I did this and that and everything. And then when the test comes, sometimes we're not as convinced as we said we were. But do you know, that's not an error on your part. The error is not going in and grabbing a hold of God and saying, make it true. Make it true. I've just discovered something, Lord. I discovered I don't have what I said I had.
Yeah.
There's no shame in discovering you don't have what you said you had, because you're going off of your knowledge. Your knowledge is imperfect. The shame is not going to God after it. Go after it. Go after the faith that you need for any given situation. It doesn't matter what it is. But today we're particularly talking about our lives, our everyday lives. Oh, we come up against some things, don't we? We come up against some things. We discover some things. We begin to understand some things about our character and who we are and the things that move us and the things that give us problems and the things that we despair of. That we have traits in us that flare up and people see it ever so often. And even you see it and you say, oh, that's so ugly. Lord, help me to get rid of that. You don't know a thing about getting rid of that. You don't know anything about what you need to get rid of that. But God knows it all. God has. But what do? We lay hold on God. And God supplies us the faith to believe that He can do this. You may have never seen it done before. You may have said, this is a trait that runs in my family. My grandfather had it. My father had it. Now I have it. They never got victory over it. They never were able to change. And I despair that I'll be ever able to change. But it's not true. Because faith, God has faith for you to believe. And then what is it that we do? So many times we come up here to the altar. We find ourselves in a place, don't we? And we come up to the altar and we lay it out before God. What are we going for? Are we going because we think that God doesn't hear us at home? No, we're going because we are presenting ourselves before God. I'm presenting myself before God. And at an altar like this, you're presenting yourself before God and the people of God. You're presenting yourself and you're saying, Lord, I don't have what I need. But He has a full supply, doesn't He? Does He have a full supply of faith that you need? Yes, He does. Do you have faith, a full measure of faith, and just all stored up in faith, and you have it stored up for many years to come?
No.
Is that how faith works?
No.
No. Faith comes as you hear. As you hear the word of God, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you hear the word of God, as you understand new things, as you understand what you have to give up, what you need to do at all, faith comes. Because you didn't even know to have faith for that. But God is the supplier of faith. He's the one that measures out faith to you. You don't go out and manufacture it. You have no way to manufacture it. It's God's faith.
Amen.
And He measures it out to you. It's always available.
Yes.
See, there isn't anything that can come to us that we cannot have faith for. There have been so many people that have said, I just didn't have faith for that. But that's not true. You do have faith. You just have to latch onto the horns till you get it. Latch onto the horns of the altar. Come to God. Latch onto Him. Just like Jacob did when he held on and he said, I won't let you go till you bless me. And bad things started happening. You know, his hip went out of joint. You know, all these things. I mean, but he didn't let go, did he? He didn't let go because the pain got worse.
Yeah.
He didn't let go because this happened or that happened. No, he held on. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. God is the one that hands out the faith. And so it also says in here, it says, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. Without wavering. Without wavering.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of things that I know. I know. But I haven't experienced it yet. In other words, I know that this is what you should do. But I haven't experienced a real test about it. I haven't experienced a real temptation about it. Maybe I haven't experienced how it can go wrong in a twinkling of an eye, and all of a sudden I'm left there and I don't know what to do next. I haven't experienced that yet. But yet, I believe that God has strength for me whenever I need it. He has it. He has faith for me. When I need faith to believe something, He will help me have faith. He measures it out. He doles it out to us, but we have to seek Him with our whole heart. And then it says, for He is faithful that promised. So He's faithful. None of us have a problem believing that, do we? We don't have a problem believing that. We look up at God and we say, He is so perfect. He is so right. He is faithful. What do we say all the time? I haven't been faithful, but He's been faithful. And we know that. How do we know that? How do we know He is so faithful? How do we have the faith to believe that He is faithful? God answered that.
Yeah.
You couldn't get it on your own. There are lots of people out there that don't have it. They can't get it on their own. God gives it. It's His faith. It's available. In the measure you need, at the point in time in your life that you need it, it's already measured out for you. It's all measured out. You need 3/4 of a cup, He's got it measured out exactly 3/4 of a cup. And all you have to do is go after it. And it will be just what the amount of faith you need to get through that thing, to get victory over that thing. We're talking about faith to live a holy life, faith to clean up our life, faith to lay aside the things and the weights and the things that are in our lives that are not good for us, that kind of faith. We're talking about that faith to where we know that if we come to God, that He's going to help us do it. We're talking about that faith. God gives us that. It says in Colossians 1:21 through 23, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. See, we know we've been alienated. We know we've been enemies. We know those things. We know we did wicked works. We know that better than what we know about this new Christian life. Particularly when we're first starting out. We know more about the old life than we do the new one. But it says here, He says that, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Now I'm going to tell you something. When any of us read that scripture for the first time after we were saved, we said, what? How is that possible? To be unblameable, to be unreprovable. How is that possible? How is it possible that God could come in and change me so much that I have nothing on hand that is displeasing to Him? How is that possible? But you know what? God doles out the faith, and bit by bit and piece by piece, we lay aside some things, we conquer some things, and we find out that there's faith there to believe right when we need it. There is faith there to accomplish. There is faith to pray a prayer of faith, saying, I know, Lord, You can change this about me. Oh, you know what? We struggle with it for a while, don't we? Did you ever do that? You struggle with it. Oh, this isn't good. This isn't good. You know, I don't know how to get over this. I don't know how to put this aside. I don't know how to make my mind think different about this. I don't know this. I don't know that. We spend a lot of time talking about all I don't know. That's what we do. We spend a lot of time doing that. But you know what? God begins to dole out some faith, and we begin to read some things in the scripture, and our faith continues to grow. And finally we say, Lord, you said, you said I can be unblameable. You said I can be pure. You said I can be unreprovable. You said that, Lord. So that's what I need. That's what I need. And God measures out the faith you need to be able to grasp a hold of that and make it a reality in your life. He does that. You have faith to believe. You didn't get it from nowhere. It didn't just happen. But you sought the Lord. You brought it before him. You brought everything that was troubling you about your life, and you keep bringing it to him. We do that throughout our whole life. We keep bringing things to him. And there's a measure of faith. And you know what? Sometimes we can live for the Lord for a long time, and then all of a sudden, we hit up against something.
Yes.
And God reveals something to us about ourselves, and it's so shocking and so unbelievable on our part. We think to ourselves, how could I have this all this time? And yet God's been blessing me and answering my prayers and doing this and doing that for me. How could I have this? He saw this. He knew this was here. How could he do that? Because he is God. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows what you understand and what you don't. He knows what you have a good knowledge of and what you're working with and dealing with and what he's been talking to you about. He knows all of that. But, oh, I'm telling you, we can get to where we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. We can get to feeling like we've been laying this aside and that aside. No, I'm just doing everything the Lord tells me to do, and this is wonderful and all. And then we hit something.
Oh, yes.
We hit something. We say, oh, that, actually say that. If you want to be unreprovable, if you want to be unblameable, yes. But God has the faith for you to do it. The faith to believe that I can be free of this. The faith to believe that as I lay this thing aside, that he will fill up the empty place that is left. Because, you know, sometimes there's an empty place left when we lay some things aside. Maybe we've been wrapped up in something maybe for a long time, and maybe we've dabbled in this or that. Who knows what? And all of a sudden, the Lord calls for it, and we lay it aside. You know what? The Lord helps us to have faith to believe some kind of way God is going to fill up this void. He's going to fill up this empty place. Because a lot of times we feel like, well, what are we going to do if we don't do that? What are we going to do if we don't have that? What are we going to do if we don't have a special thing that we do on a certain day or whatever? What are we going to do? So what are we going to do at that time? And the Lord will fill it. And we have faith to believe that I can be more holy tomorrow than I am today. I can be. I have faith to believe that God comes and will heal me of this and take away the desire for it.
Yes.
Where do we get that faith? Manufactured? No. It comes from God. And we seek God. And we go after God. And we lay hold on him. And we say, Lord, I'm not going to let this go until you bless me. You got to bless me, Lord. Oh, you know what happens with so many people? They see something in their lives and they know they should change it. And they try for a week or so, you know, and it just keeps coming back, and it's just problems and trials and things about it and everything. And you know what they do? They give up seeking the Lord about it, because it just gets so hard, they just give in. And then what happens? Oh, you can go for a little while and then it all comes back. Because the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to bring it back. And he brings it back. And they deal with it for a while. And maybe this time they go further, but they don't quite get it all. And then they go back. And you know what? The Lord looks down upon us and he sees us. and understand where we are. He's very merciful.
Amen.
But through what he's trying to teach us today is he wants us to know that the faith you need is right there.
Amen.
You just have to reach out and get it. It's there. It's always there. There's never a lack. There's never some big thing that you have to do. You remember when the man came to the prophet? Was it Naaman? I don't remember. And he had the leprosy, and he came to the prophet. And he thought, he told him to do some simple little thing. He thought, well, we have cleaner rivers than this. Why do I have to dip in this river? You know? And but the servant, I think it was this girl, the servant girl that was there, said to him, if he had asked you to do some big thing. See, that's what we think sometimes. If I can just do some big thing. And so sometimes that's what we try to do. We try to work up our faith to do something. So if I go and do this big thing, in other words, I'm going to start giving more to the church, or I'm going to go down there on work day and I'm going to really work, you know, and then I'm going to feel, you know, this or that, and then I'm going to, that isn't it. You're not going to get it that way. You can't earn it. God gives faith and he measures it out.
Amen.
On what you need. Right now, he has the exact measure that you need. And he will give it to you, but you can't earn it.
No.
You have to just go to him, and you have to keep it before him till the answer comes.
Yes.
Oh, we give up so soon.
Yes.
And all of us, I'm sure, all of us have given up too soon. Do you know sometimes, have you ever worked with something, and it just seems to get harder and harder. You're working, and you're striving with it, and you're saying, Lord, I need help, and all these things, and everything, and then finally, you say, oh, I can't do it, Lord. I just don't have it. I don't have it. And then the very next day, something so changes in the situation that you find out, I only had to hang on one more night.
Yeah.
I only had to hang on one more night. And I gave up right before the entity. The Lord wants us to know that we don't ever have to give up.
Amen.
In anything we're asking him for, we don't ever have to give up.
Amen.
We come to him and we seek him for this new life. It's faith that helps us live this new life. It's measured out faith from God that helps us do this. This is not something we can earn and work up and get ourselves. It comes from God. It comes from humbling ourselves and praying and fasting and whatever we need to do to get a hold of what God wants for us. But the faith is always there. If there's anything that the Lord wants us to learn, is that faith is right there. It is within your reach. It is not clear across the room. It is not clear across the ocean. You aren't going to have to swim shark-infested waters to get it. It's right there within your reach. You just reach out, and God measures the faith you need to conquer that thing in your life right now. That attitude, that temper, that laziness, that whatever it is you have, he measures it out to you and says, this is the exact amount you need to get over this. This is the exact amount. He measures it out. But you have to seek for it. It isn't dropped in our lap. It is something that God measures out. So before we were saved, he dropped it on us. We didn't even know to hardly seek for it. We didn't even know what we were doing. We didn't even know how we were being drawn to God. And some of us didn't even know that when we came into church that day, we were going to the altar. We didn't even know. But all of a sudden it was there. and the faith dropped in, and we just made our way there, and it was possible.
Yes.
It was possible. God did that. You didn't earn it. You didn't fight for it. You didn't do anything for it. God threw it in. He measured it out. He gave it to you. And he's going to give it to you to live this life. You're not going to have to figure this all out on your own. You're not going to have to figure this all out with the strength and the faith you have today. You don't have to figure it all out with that. God has more. He has more faith to hand out. He has more faith to measure out to you. Well, no matter what comes, he has some more. It's unbounded. We can have as much as we want. We can have it for every need. That faith that we need to be able to lay down at night and shut off the cares and the troubles and the trials of life. That faith. Do you know you can have that faith to be able to shut that off? It's right there. It's right there in front of you. You can have it. You can have it. You just go to him and hang on until he gives it. That's what you do. You don't give up. You don't let go. You don't allow anything to take it away. Or sometimes we wake up in the mornings and it doesn't seem as dire as it did the day before. And so we let it go. But then we're going to run up against it again. I can guarantee you're going to run up against it again.
That's right.
Because God wants you to get it. He wants you to have the faith you need to conquer this in your life. You don't ever have to be without faith. There is no place in life that you have to be without faith. Because God measures it out, and all we have to do is go to him until he gives it. We may have to spend a day and a night on our knees. We may have to fast for a day. We may have to draw our minds in and seek him with our whole heart and let him talk to us and tell us and tell us about ourselves and say, yes, Lord. But the truth of the matter is, it's right there. It's right there for you to get a hold of. You don't have to go without it. First Peter 1:14-16. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, listen, I remember. I remember being young in my experience and saying holiness. And, oh, yes, we're holiness people. We believe in holiness and everything. We believe all these things. And I could spout pretty good holiness. But as I went along, and as the Lord dealt with me, I found out there were some things that weren't so holy in my life. I didn't know about them before, but I knew about them now. Now I recognized it. Now he's poured understanding in. Now I understand where I'm at. How is it that I knew all I had to do was to keep going to God to get rid of that? And then I could just still go on claiming holiness. I didn't have to stop saying that I'm holy. How did I know that? Faith from God. Measured out when I needed it so that I could grasp a hold of it and say, I am holy. I am holy. Faith, because he measured it out. Oh, there are so many things. Holiness covers all manner of conversation. In other words, our whole life, holiness. Holiness in our thoughts. Holiness in our actions. Holiness in how we treat others. Holiness in our very thinking processes.
Amen.
Do you know that some of us have developed some strange ways of dealing with problems?
Yes.
Some strange ways that we exercise our minds to deal with problems. Some people go out and they drink. Some people take drugs. Some people chase women or chase men. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They do something to distract them from what they really should be doing. And they feel guilty afterwards. But it doesn't stop them from doing it again. But when we're saved, we don't do that. But we can have a whole lot of things, a whole lot of ways. If we used to run, to some kind of substance or something to alleviate our problems, to take away our cares, you know, to make us feel better, I'm telling you, in salvation, you're going to try to do the same thing. You're going to do it different. You know, maybe you're just going to call a bunch of people on the phone that day. You know what I mean? Just talk the saint after saint after saint after saint after saint all day long. Because, you know, I can't handle this. I can't do this. You know, I've got to, you know, I'm running right now. But all you need to do is go to the Lord and reach out for the faith that's already measured out for this problem. It's already measured. Just reach out for it and let the Lord give it to where I don't have to run. See, we have some strange ways we handle problems. Strange ways that we protect ourselves. You know what I mean, protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like we say, well, it doesn't matter what they say. I don't care what they say. And in truth, it's really bothering you what they said, but this is how I handle it. Oh, I don't care. I don't care. The Lord is going to let us live on like that.
No.
Because he wants to get down to where, first of all, that if what they're saying, if part of it is true, you need to be able to admit it's true and not cast it off because you didn't like it. And second of all, if it's not true, he wants you to truly have freedom. Have true freedom from it. To where when things, when they speak evil against you,
yes,
you can still go free. He wants you to have that. And not be thinking about it in your head all day and all night and dream about it and then get up the next day and it's still on your mind. And then you got to run. You're running now. You're going to run. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do that. Try to get away from those thoughts. But you know what? God has what you need. It's already measured out. You just go after him and get it. Get the faith you need to correct that thing in your life. That's what you need. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know that faith is not dependent on me and my understanding? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
That faith is not dependent upon my measly little thoughts and my little strength and my little whatever. It's not dependent on that. It's dependent on a mighty living God.
Amen.
That it has it measured out. And we just have to go after it. Just like we went after salvation. We have to go after this cleansing and this thing that goes on in our life, down through the rest of our life, that God shows us little things about ourselves that he wants us to lay aside, to correct, to get victory over, to not operate that way anymore.
Thank God.
Isn't it wonderful that all of us here that are saved and have been living for the Lord, isn't it wonderful that you have found that out? You may not have known what to call it exactly, but you found that out. You have faith to believe because, why? Because of the evidence that the last time I went to the Lord and he helped me with this, and I didn't know how I was ever going to get free of that, but the Lord, I went to the Lord and he so freed me from that, I have evidence now that God can help me with anything. I have evidence. Sometimes something gets so hard we want to throw out the evidence. Isn't it funny how when we're going through something, all of the previous evidence disappears? You know, so there's times in the justice system that some shenanigans go on and all of a sudden all the evidence against somebody disappears. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how when we get into a situation, all of a sudden, all the evidence of the past faith that God has given me goes out the window and I can't think of anything. I can't come up with anything. I can't start laying down, well, Lord, you gave me faith for this, and you helped me with that, and you gave me faith here when I thought this couldn't be helped. And that isn't what comes to our mind. That is not what comes to our mind. Why? Because we have an enemy.
Yeah.
The enemy's coming in. He's trying to shout so loud so that you can't hear what the Lord is saying. The Lord would like to remind you of some things. But the devil is so loud.
Oh, yeah.
He shouts so loud. He tells it so loud. He says, you're this and you're that. He says it so loud, you can't hear that still small voice that says, I helped you with this.
Yeah.
I can help you with that. What I can do here, I can do there.
Amen.
What did God say when he was there with all of the people and he was healing one of, I think it was a man in the temple. Anyway, and he told them that it was no difference between saying that you're healed and saying that your sins are gone. You see, it's the same thing. Same thing. There's not a special faith for this and then a special faith for that. And we're going to have to reach out and get this special faith that only works for this. And if we miss it, oh, we're not going to get it because we've got to have that special faith. No, it's the same faith.
Amen.
The exact same faith. You just need the measure right now that God needs to pour out for you to have the faith to do this. Because you are not storing it up. There's not a storehouse in you of faith. There's evidence. You have evidence of faith. You remember, I did this and I did that, you know, and it causes you to believe in God. And it causes you to believe that I can get this again. And I know that I had faith. God gave me faith for those things. But I don't have faith stored up a mile high that no matter what hits my life, that I don't have to go God for some more. It's not about that. He measures it. All right. Now, in Galatians 5, 19 through 26, it's the works of the flesh. And we know what the works of the flesh are. They're pretty, they are some of the worst words that you can use. Okay? So adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Those all are pretty bad. And we look at this list and we think, you know, that those are all pretty bad. And we could probably in our life at many different times say, I'm not guilty of those. Because we wouldn't stand for it. I mean, you know, we would feel like, well, we can't even be saved if we're doing these things.
No.
And it says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's little things attached to all these things.
Yeah.
Little places that it works. Oh, yes, we're not doing the big thing anymore. But do you know there's little roots and little places that are still hanging on and being there and little things that are attached, and all of a sudden one day we'll be reading the scripture and the Lord will say emulations, you know, you'll read that word emulations and he'll say, that's what you do at work. What? You see what I'm saying? You hear it. You understand it. You go, what? And then you begin to think over and you begin to understand, okay, this is what I'm doing. Emulations is, you know, fighting, arguing, striving. Variance is the same thing. Strife. Little things. Emulations, you know. In other words, you know, when the boss isn't looking and I lean over the worker and say something funny about the boss. Divisions, emulations, strife. You see what I'm saying? When I kind of, he walks out of the room and I roll my eyes and the person next to me laughs. Emulation. You see, little things. We would never think of emulations how we picture it. No, we're not doing that. But we're doing these little things. But do you know that God, has faith measured out to keep you from rolling your eyes? But you're going to have to see people to where you will not roll your eyes anymore. Oh, I was an eye roller.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would turn my head and walk away from my husband and roll my eyes. Nobody else could see it. Why would I do that? Nobody could even see it. There wasn't anybody there to where I could be sending a message to. No, just me, myself, and I, and the devil. And he tempts me to, you know, even like what he said, and like what he said it. It was true what he said, but he didn't have to say it that way. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I roll my eye. You see, the Lord wants to fine-tune all of our lives. How do we know that we can get that cured? How do we know that we don't have to roll our eyes anymore? How do we know that can stop when I've done it my whole life? Faith.
Yeah.
The measure of faith that God pours into our life all the time. Every time we come to Him, He pours in a measure of faith that we need for the petition that we're coming to Him for. He pours it in. Okay, so once He pours it in, what you got to do with it? Got to exercise it. You've got to exercise your faith. It's there. He's poured it in. You've got to exercise that faith. How do you exercise it? Well, the next time you turn around and you're walking away and you begin to roll your eyes, you go, not going to do that. Lord, I don't have to do that. You said I don't have to do that. You promised that I could be free. You promised that I could do this and that. And besides that, He doesn't deserve it just because I didn't like what He said. You see what I'm saying? The Lord begins to teach you how to go against that. How does that happen? Through faith. Faith teaches me that I can do this, and I can talk to the Lord about it, and right on the spot, I can change the roll of the eye, and it doesn't even get finished, and I can change it.
Amen.
Where before, I couldn't stop it for anything. They were going to roll no matter what. In fact, I better turn around quick, or He's going to see it. The Lord gives us faith for these things. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord has all this faith. We never have to be without faith.
Yeah.
We should never say, I don't have the faith for that.
Lord,
never, never should we ever say that out loud. And don't say it in your mind either.
Yes.
Don't do that, because where did that lie come from? The enemy of your soul. He's the one that says you don't have faith. Oh, you don't have faith for this. This is too much. This is too much. You don't have faith. You don't have a faith for this. Oh, you don't have a faith for this. Doesn't the Lord know you don't have the faith for this? He's yelling and screaming the minute it happens. He's yelling and screaming and saying, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it. But He's a liar. He's been a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He's going to continue to lie. And the truth is that faith is right there. Just take a hold. Just reach out and take it. The faith you need to change your life, to be able to be holy and unblameable in God's sight. The faith is already measured out. Just reach out and get it. Get the faith you need. All right, so we see these horrible things, and we see all these. Oh, we're not guilty of all these horrible things.
No.
Then we get to Luke 6, 27, 31. 27 through 31, it says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Oh, we're getting tight here. And as you would that men should do ye also to them likewise. Oh, now listen. Okay, we're willing to lay down emulation. We're willing to lay down strife. We're not going to talk bad about them. You know, we're willing to lay aside all of the lascivious sins. We're willing to do that. We're not going to hate anybody.
No.
We're not going to hate anybody.
No.
We're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to have all, you know, we're not doing these things. But what happens? Then we read these scriptures. And it says, love your enemies. And what do? We say, oh, I love them. I love them. They're sinners. They don't know what they're doing. Do you know that that's not love? That's not love.
No.
Oh, love them like Jesus did. See? Where he laid down his life for them when they were killing him, beating him. And he still just laid down his life for them. It's a horrible thing. Sometimes the way we twist scriptures. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Oh, listen. No, what do? Well, that person hates me. I'll just stay away. How are you going to be doing good to anybody that you stay away from? See, the Lord starts tightening it. You know, drawing our lives in tighter. Because why? Because he wants us to be holy. And when we read these things, we realize, Lord, I don't think I can love him quite like that. But you know what I believe? And what I have faith for? Every time I've gone to the Lord and brought anything before him, he has given me the faith I need to be able to conquer this thing in my life. And I believe I can go and get this also.
Amen.
I believe that I can bless them that are cursing me. And it's not like somebody's cursing you and say, oh, you know, Lord bless you. That's just sad. That just lights the fire.
Right.
You know exactly what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know what you're doing. No, it's not saying necessarily anything to their face. It's actually going home and pouring out your heart to God for them.
Yes.
And when you do that, God hands out the faith you need to be able to deal with a whole lot of other people that are doing the same thing. And you will learn that all you have to do is go to the Lord and he pours in the faith you need to live like you need to live with these ones. It is so wonderful what God does. And then, or despitefully use you. Oh, see, it's one thing if they did it by accident. And sometimes even when somebody does it on purpose, we say, oh, they didn't mean to do it. And in your mind, you know full well they meant to do it. You know, you know some people. You know they meant to do it. But this is how we play when we're saved. This is how we play with it. We say they didn't mean to do it. Oh, the poor things, you know. They didn't mean to do it. But that's not true. You know they meant to do it. Don't try to tell the Lord they didn't mean to do it. And that make yourself feel better because I'm being nice. I'm taking the high ground. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
I have heard that so much that I'm taking the high ground.
Uh-huh.
Really? Because that is not where God is. God is lowly.
Amen.
God is on the low ground. You aren't going to find God on the high ground. You're only going to find him on the low ground.
Amen.
So, there you are. And you're looking at yourself, and you're seeing these things. And then it says, if they hit you on one cheek, turn the other.
Uh-oh.
Oh, listen.
Yeah.
We don't even know how that's going to feel. We don't even know what that's going to mean. Because it doesn't always mean a physical strike. You know? It doesn't always mean that. But if it was physical, now I don't think God is talking about some man has broken into your house and he hits you. I don't think the Lord expects you to stand there and let him hit you again. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think it's talking about when somebody strikes a blow at you. when they strike a blow at you. You've heard of going belly up? You know how dogs do? They get in trouble and they claw their way over on their stomach and then they flip over. Why do they do that? Because in the pack, going belly up means don't kill me, I'm surrendering. You know, you're it. You're the big one. You're the boss. You know, don't kill me, because otherwise they kill them. So I go belly up so that I can save my life. Do you know that there's times you're going to go belly up?
Yes.
To save yourself from making a horrible, horrible mistake that you're about to make.
So true.
Yes. You just need to go that way. But faith, to be able to do that, is right there. You just have to, it's already measured out. All you have to do is reach for it. And you know what? It's not that I have to fast and pray for days to get it all the time. It isn't like that. Sometimes it is. But sometimes it's a quick word. It's a quick thing. Lord, help me. And he gives you the faith and the measure that you need, and you're able to perform what you're asking me to help you with. This is what he does. He gives us the measure. He measures it out. It comes from him. It's not us. It comes from him. Oh, and then it says, if they're stealing from you, don't ask. If somebody asks something of thee, you ever had somebody say, I don't want to lend them anything? Every time it comes back, it's broken. My husband used to say that about one of his sons. Oh, I hate to lend him anything. Always comes back broken. But he lent it to him anyway. The point is that when people ask something of me, we're not supposed to be so attached and so wrapped up in our own stuff that we can't let something go. Lord, help us. See, these are the fine-tuned, but you know what, those fine-tuning places? God helps us do that. Then there's the next of these scriptures, but it's the put-on scriptures, the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. That's wonderful, isn't it? So we have to lay aside things. We have to get faith to lay aside. We also have to get faith to put on. Do you know that?
Yes.
We have to get faith to put on. I can know that I need something, but if I don't go out to God, reach out for faith to be able to get this, I won't get it. I will not get it. The Lord wants us to change habits. He wants us to put on a new, so to speak, personality. He wants to change the things about us and everything. Now, has anyone ever heard of the 2190 rule? 2190. Okay, this is something that when you're wanting to set a goal or you want something, I'm saved now and I need to learn to pray every night, or I need to learn to pray every morning. They say that if you do it for 21 days straight, you will form the habit. To keep the habit, you have to do it for 90 days more. That's a long time, isn't it? That's the 2190 rule. All right, and then I looked at some studies that they did about these kinds of things. And of course, they're dealing with worldly people. But I just want to know, did you ever have to struggle for 90 days or more about something? Did you ever try to break a bad habit that you have and the Lord has dealt with you about it and you say, okay, I'm not, you know, and then did you ever struggle for a little longer than 21 days? Did you ever start out and do it good for 7 days And then the eighth day comes along, and this gets in the way, and that gets in the way, and then I didn't do it. And then the next day, I'm discouraged, and I don't do it. And then 3 days later, I finally say, okay, Lord, I'm going to start over. Faith. And I'm going to tell you something. When we reach out, these are studies done with people in the world. But when we reach out in faith, and we grasp a hold of faith, it doesn't have to take this. We are not subject to the same rules. And we are not subject to the same studies that they've done. There was one study to form a brand new habit. One study found out that you could learn it within 66 days. Some people could get it within 66 days. Some other people, it took them 254. Okay? Another study said a behavioral change, such as alcoholism, drugs, deep behavioral problem. 1 to 5 years. That's why when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, you earn their 1 year pin, their 2 year, their 3 year, their 4 year, their 5 year. Why is it that they do all of that? Because they know that people have gone sometimes those many years and still turned around and gone back. And they say, you can't even get free of it. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. You reach out in faith, it has happened overnight for people. Other people have struggled some. There have been other people that have struggled some. That they have struggled with their salvation and getting rid of this out of their life, and they struggled and everything. But it all has to do with faith. It all has to do with them reaching out and grasping a hold of God in faith, giving Him, letting Him pour out the measure of faith into their life.
Yeah.
So we get saved through faith, and we clean up our lives and live a holy life through faith. But it's not our own faith. No. Our own faith and our own, what we think we have, it can be weak. It's through the faith that when we go to the altar, we go to God, and we hang on to the horns of the altar, and we say, I won't let go, Lord, until this is a reality in my life.
Amen.
I counsel people a lot of times, don't go home. Don't think this is the only time you're going to pray about this. Go home and keep praying about this. Make this your daily prayer until you know that God has heard, answered. You have it. You've got it. You have a hold of it. Why? Because sometimes one prayer doesn't do it. God pours in a measure of faith, but you also have to exercise the measure He pours in. And sometimes it takes us a while to exercise. We only exercise a little part of it, and then this little part, and then that little part. And then finally we get the whole thing, and we get the whole victory, and we say, oh, that's so good. Why couldn't I get it at the first? Because you didn't take all the faith. You just exercised a little at a time. Sometimes God leads us in a way that He gives us out, just measures us out just a little at a time, because it's all we can do. He told the disciples, I have new things to tell you, but you're not able. He knows what we're able to do. So we get saved in faith, and we live a holy life in faith.